If anybody can make 9 degrees below zero seem like a good time, it'd be our good buddy, Tom Casper, because he's either got us out doing things in our garden that makes us happy, or he's got us inside looking at gardening catalogs and making plans. Howdy there, sunshine.
Wow, that's a big task.
Yeah, I know. So I'm kind of intrigued by this whole microgreen thing. Now, I had to go and do a couple of other little tasks this morning, so I missed the part where Mark asked his guests, what exactly is a microgreen? Do you just plant something and let it get itty-bitty-bitty and then eat it?
Yeah, basically. And by the way, great program. Was that its very first one?
Second one.
Second one, very fun and informative, and certainly that local food movement and that effort to support local enterprise, whether it's farmers or manufacturers or people who are other craftspeople, is so popular. And the microgreens in Superior, I believe it's called Superior Farm, is another one of those examples of ways to do that for us as consumers in the area. But basically just they're mini, plants that are immature, so you're harvesting them before they reach capacity. Because one of the things they were talking about is that they're of course harvesting sunflowers and sunflower greens for tops of cupcakes and salads and things like that.
Yeah, I found that mildly disturbing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I want to have people throwing healthy ingredients on my junk food.
I did kind of chuckle and thought about you as they're talking about greens and your aversion to in the past, anyway,
well,
of anything green.
I got to try to. I mean, green's my favorite color, but my eyes like it better than my mouth does. Although I have to say, between the frozen apples and the peanuts, the birds are getting a well-balanced diet at my house. Someone is eating healthy at my house. It's not me, but someone is eating healthy at my house.
Yeah. So, so we'll finish that, and then we can talk a little bit about that, because that's a good thing, a good topic for today. But, so the microgreen movement is really popular, and if folks want to do it, it's really something that any of us can do in our own home. You just really need a sunny spot and a container that's well-drained. Sorry about a little dog barking in the background.
Yeah, there you go. That's all right.
So you need a container or a pot that's well-drained and a sunny spot and and some seeds.
Well, because the plant isn't going to grow to maturity, and the whole point is that it doesn't, you don't really need to worry about a growing season or anything. It's like until it gets... How do you know what... All right, first of all, how do you know that you're not going to plant something to eat that turns out to be poisonous?
Well, you're sticking to any of the crops that we grow or most of the time grow for consumption, except you're just getting it to full size. So things like beets.
Well, we don't grow. Well, I guess we eat sunflower seeds, but sometimes like a seed is great, but if you eat the plant, it's a bad idea.
Yeah, and a lot of times the greens and same with beets. They were talking about some of the different mustards that they grow, a very spicy mustard, but there's lettuce greens that you can grow. And you can really pick up a lot of these seeds. You can get them online or even late in the season at the different greenhouses or home improvement centers that have discounted the seeds significantly, whether it's lettuce mixes or arugula or spinach or whatever it happens to be, and then just grow it to a smaller size. And you can have it growing right in your kitchen and trim it off and put those on a salad. So they're obviously not going to supplant your need to go to the grocery store or to go to the farmer's market to get other things. So it's really just kind of a nice little add-on, and it's an opportunity to do a little indoor gardening, even in the coldest months of the year here in northern part of the country.
So how big do you let them get before you snip them?
You can let them get 3 inches, 4 inches tall, so they don't get really very big. So you're just harvesting the tops. And depending on the plant that you're growing, now, of course, if you're growing herbs, a lot of those will re-sprout. And can continue to grow for you like that. Others you'll have to replant then. So you could really have some kind of production going on where you might have three or four pots where you've started each of them a week after each other or 10 days after each other. And you could have things that you're harvesting and things that you have that are getting closer to harvest and stuff that's just getting going. And all this can happen on your windowsill or a spot in your house where you have some nice sunshine and are able to take care of them. So it's really a fun way. And they in the episode, of course, we're talking about that they have dedicated space in their garage, so it's under artificial light and pretty climate controlled, things like that. So that is one of the challenges that we deal with here in this time of year, is enough light to get these to grow. So getting them in the sunniest spot you can, or under fluorescent lights or some kind of lighting, additional lighting to help them go. So,
well, and your chances are you're not growing them to sell to a bunch of people either. So you're just growing some for your family. And I would imagine that a person could do a little bit of online snooping around and find some nice mild things or spicy things. If you're a spicy person. You could find some nice spicy things that you could, you know, for example, like if you were going to grow a jalapeno microgreen, I mean, the peppers are hot, but are the greens hot?
No.
They're not. And you know this.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So if you were going to plant jalapenos and think, I'm going to have jalapeno microgreens, it's not going to do for you what you're hoping.
No.
Got it.
But she, and I forgot the folks' names, but she was talking about that they're growing a spicy mustard.
Yep, Jake and Bridget, they're with Superior Greens.
Okay, so they were talking about growing a spicy mustard that she had joked that she tried to see how many she could get in her mouth at one time, and it was very few, because it was very spicy. So there are, like you said, there are things that people can find that if they want something a little spicier, that they can grow as greens, and mustard is a good choice for that. So
cool.
Fun episode and fun program that you guys are going to be having, and it'll be fun to listen to see what people are doing. And
yeah, we're kind of amazing that way. We like to think so anyway.
Very trendy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm telling you. I am telling you.
So, you know, and that kind of plays into what I wanted to talk about a little bit, which is, there's some similarity to it, but it's forcing bulbs. So, you know, if you happen to be at any of the home improvement centers, they all have their remaining tulips and daffodils and things like that, bulbs that we generally plant in the fall for a spring bloom. But a lot of them will have them now discounted 50 or 75% off, and they just want to get rid of them. And of course, now with this cold, it's going to be pretty difficult to get those planted outside of your home. But there are things you can do with them inside of your home. And that's called forcing them.
It makes you kind of wonder what sorts of, you know, coercion. Well, you could say we're coercing them. And the tulip gets a, you know, about an inch above the surface, and then you snip it off and eat it.
Exactly.
Yeah, this show's going downhill in a hurry. Well, let's call it encouraging bulbs then.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, unfortunately, what they'll do at those home improvement centers is they're going to have to throw them out here soon whatever they don't sell.
Can you imagine what that garbage pile looks like in the spring? You know, in a landfill somewhere, there's just this incredible blanket of every color, tulip, daffodil. What's that? Oh, well, yeah, the garden center, that's where they come and dump their garbage
stuff.
Yeah.
So, but what we can do is we can take those bulbs, and of course, because of, especially with today, with the cold temperatures, pretty hard to get them planted now outside. But you can put them in containers, and kind of some similarities to what we talked about with the greens. But you can plant them in containers, and in this case, those bulbs need what's called some cold acclimation or some cold stratification. So they need time in some cooler temperatures. However, it can't be freezing. And that's why when we plant like our tulip bulbs or daffodil bulbs, we plant them about 6 inches deep. So they're, you know, most cases below the damaging cold. I mean, we get frost below that, but not damaging frost. So anyway, so when we force them, we put them in containers, and we only want to plant them about an inch deep in the containers rather than that 5 to 6 inches deep that we would normally do. And then we put them in our refrigerator or a cool space that you have some control of. So you can't let them freeze in those containers. So you couldn't put them in an unheated garage or somewhere like that.
So you put them right next to the leeches that you have for fishing.
Yes, exactly.
Nice.
So if you've got space in your fridge or a refrigerator that you generally pack full of beer or pop during the summertime or other beverages that goes a little bit unused or less used during these winter months, you can put these containers right in there. And they require about 12 weeks of that cold or cool time. So anywhere between 35 and 45 degrees. You know, it can vary or moderate between those. And then after about 12 weeks, you take them out and put them on your windowsill. So in our case, it would be, you know, what is that? That would be about the end of February. You can take them out and put them on your windowsill, and they will sprout, and you can have baskets or pots full of blooming tulips or daffodils or crocuses or hyacinth in early March, you know, when we're all longing for that spring or glimpses or signs of spring. Here you can have containers full of these blooming bulbs, and you can, you know, you see them at florist shops and places like that in the spring as well. But, you know, you can take something that's going to end up in the garbage here soon if it doesn't find a home and use it and get some enjoyment out of it. And then folks will take those and try to plant those out in the garden. And depending on a few variables, we'll have success then with those also then blooming for years beyond that. So
wow. So it's not necessarily a death sentence if it's planted indoors. It's not, well, okay, it's done now and goodbye bulb. It's possible that when the temperatures get right, all other things being equal, it could go on to live a long and happy life outdoors.
Yes. Yeah.
Wild and free like it belongs.
Yes. Run, tulip, run.
Exactly. Oh. Turn those tulips loose. Let those tulips live unfenced. That's yes. What they like.
So if folks happen to be out shopping and they see those stands and there's some bulbs left in them and want to find a way to bring a little spring into their house and in the later parts of the winter, that's a way of doing that. And also if they see the seed racks and there's spinach blends or lettuce blends or beets or whatever it happens to be that are still on the rack and want to try a little
micro farming.
Yeah, a little micro farming. What better way to kind of utilize those, because a lot of those then go unused as well, but utilize those for some fun little thing they can do in their garden or in their home and share their love of gardening even in the darkest of our days. So.
And then when we get, you know, we get a couple of weeks from now and you can share where you can find itty bitty little combines.
Yes.
For your micro farm.
Yes.
And you can add that to your most wished for thing.
Yes.
From gardeners.
The gardeners,
gosh, I gotta have this list or whatever we call it.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're going to be talking about those kinds of things for gardeners here starting in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
On just before Thanksgiving.
Well, no, we're going to talk about things to be thankful before Thanksgiving.
Right.
We're not going to concentrate on what we want to get. We're going to concentrate on being thankful. But then we'll talk about electric wheelbarrows and tiny little combines. It'll be fun.
Tiny little combines. And as folks are thinking, don't forget to support those local enterprises, whether it's hardware stores or farmers or things like that, as they're, you know, they're looking towards giving thanks and celebrating, to find ways to celebrate those local entrepreneurs. So,
good plan, Stan.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks, all right?
Great talking to you.
Tom Casper, our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners, a regular feature of every other Tuesday right here on 103.3 KUMD.